Then you're in junior high school and in high school. Yeah. Are you doing artwork into high school?
Yeah. Most of the artwork I did in high school, I had an art teacher that did not like me. She didn't believe in what I wanted to do, and I didn't like her because she didn't believe in what I wanted to do. But I wanted to do nature, wildlife, and she wanted me to do basically abstract stuff. She said, a camera can do what you want to do. You'll never make anything of yourself as an artist if you just reproduce nature. She was wrong there for me.
Did you have to conform to what she wanted?
Yeah, I did have to make my grades, yeah.
Right.
Of course I did, yeah. In fact, I won a National Art Award with a picture that she encouraged me to do, and it was a garbage can in a backyard with garbage coming out of it. And I did get some nature in it. I put a blackbird or a crow sitting on the side picking at the garbage.
So you kind of showed her, didn't you?
Yeah, I put a little bit of nature into it.
That's great. You graduated from Muskogee High School
in what
year?
1952, I think.
All right. So then what's happening after high school?
Well, I went to Northeastern State College.
In Tahlequah.
That was 30 miles away. None of my folks ever had anything but a high school education, and some of them didn't even have that. So my opportunity to go to college was pretty special. What I'd done is I'd saved money, and I had about $900 saved in the bank.
Okay, where are you getting this money to save?
Delivering papers, doing chores. I was raising some pigeons, and I'd sell those pigeons. I'd do anything for a buck. Gather mistletoe around Christmas. I had a friend, his name was Avis Goad, and he was a good tree climber. Because of my handicap, I couldn't climb good. We'd go out on our bicycles around Muskogee in November. He'd climb up a tree and cut the mistletoe and throw it down to me. We would take it to the local feed stores, and they would buy it for us from 10 cents a pound, and they'd sell it. I always saved a certain amount of that money for my schooling or for a fishing tackle. My good lesson, John, my folks never gave me money for things I wanted for pleasure. They said, if you want that, you earn it. And I wish all parents would do that with their kids today. Rather than just hand them a new car or hand them a fishing rod, say, you need to earn that. That's the best lesson I think my folks ever gave me.
That's a great lesson. So you're in Tahlequah, but your family moved from Muskogee, didn't they?
No. My dad died in Muskogee.
Okay.
And my mother, after he died, married another man, and they moved to Texas and then eventually to California.
But you go to Northeastern.
Yeah. I wanted to major in art and journalism. My folks, even though I was paying for it, said no. That artists and journalists were the first to starve in the Depression. Said, you get something you can earn a living at. They suggested that I think looking into being a doctor or a dentist. And Northeastern had a really good pre-med and pre-dental school. So I went there thinking that I was going to be a doctor. They had a program at Northeastern at the time that if you made 3.8 to a 4-point average, the first, I think it was 60 hours, with like the first 2.5 years, you could apply at OU Med School. And I had almost a 4-point average. But my advisor didn't realize that I had not taken calculus. So when I enrolled in the third course of physics, I made a D in it because I could not work the problems. I didn't have calculus. So they gave me at the university, it was like a standby thing, alternate, what was called. And if I made that grade up, then I could get into the university if there was an opening, but there never was an opening. I made it up. I made a B in the course with, you might say, handmade calculus.
That was altering your future life.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't get in, you're on standby, and they said, we don't have room for you. What if they had accepted you? Do you think you'd gone on to be a doctor?
I don't think I could have afforded it. I don't think we were realistic about that whenever I got on. You know, they may have been to borrow some money or work real hard to do it, but I don't really think that I could have afforded it.
But you got to move on to what you really wanted to do in the first place anyway.
Well, eventually, yeah. Then I went ahead and graduated with degrees in chemistry, physics, and biology. Had a B.S. in all three, and I went to work in Tulsa at a petroleum production research center for 12 years as a researcher.
What company was that with?
Standard Oil of New Jersey and Carter Oil Company.
Okay.
And I got married when I got right out of college. That's when I began to try to develop my art talent and my writing talents. that I started doing it on my own.
Are you fishing too?
Every time I got a chance.
Where would you go fishing then if you're living
mostly in? Mostly just within 30 or 40 miles. I had an old car at that time. My dad had reconditioned 38 Dodge. If it didn't have a flat, I could get to the fishing area. I'd fished on the Grand River, and Fort Gibson Lake was built at that time, and Greenleaf Lake, and just local ponds.
All right. How long were you with Standard Oil?
For about 7 years. They moved me to Houston. By that time, I had a couple of children, and I did not want to raise my children in a big city. So we moved back to Bartlesville, because there was a job open there in government research. I was working in classified research. And unless I got a release from them, another competitor company couldn't hire me. So I went to work for the government for 3 years.
Okay, when was it you were in Montana, the Armstrong Spring Creek?
Okay, that happened the year I was a senior in high school. My mom drove up to see my dad, who was working in Bismarck, North Dakota. And I drove up with her because I could drive at that time. I knew about trout, and I knew about how good they were for fly fishing. You know, I kept up with it, reading articles and what have you, but I only caught a few trout in Missouri as a young teenager. On the way back home, I talked my mom into stopping by a trout stream to fish. Well, we stopped and didn't have very much luck fly fishing, so I started bait fishing with grasshoppers, and I caught a bunch of trout. So I stopped by a place in Livingston, Montana called Dan Bailey's Fly Shop. And we went in and told Dan that I'd been catching all these big fish on grasshoppers. He said, "Well, you know, Dave, when you fly fish, we have a grasshopper imitation." He gave me three of them, and he sent me to the creek you just mentioned, and I caught some really nice trout on a grasshopper fly.
Didn't you also, you bought a face mask and fins?
Yeah, but that was several years later, because I fell in love with Montana on that trip, and so when I later had the job at the research, I started driving up there and fishing on my vacation every year for over 30 years.
And where in Montana?
Mostly around Yellowstone Park. If you drew about a 100-mile circle around Yellowstone Park, that was mostly where I spent the time.
Okay. This summer we were in Big Fork and Kalispell, Montana. Yeah. You were probably not that
no,
area.
No, no.